You're listening to the Hidden Killers podcast with Tony Bruschi.
Featuring clinical and forensic psychologist Joni Johnston.
A new federal grand jury in place, or at least we're now aware that it is in place, taking a look into Sean Diddy Combs. This is separate from the sex trafficking allegations and that investigation where his home was raided a bit more than a month ago. Now, this is taking a look much more closely at the people who filed civil lawsuits against him and those folks who popped up in the video footage at his house. We've not seen that, but the authorities have obtained that. Joining me to discuss, Joni Johnston, forensic psychologist. This is looking darker and darker for Diddy as the days go on. I should have had another D in there to really make that rhyme. What's been your thoughts as far as this thing continues to move forward?
It's snowballing. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think it's turning into an avalanche. And it is interesting sometimes because we've seen this happen before with other celebrities, you know, where it started out with one person making an accusation or some rumors starting, and then people start coming forward. And all of a sudden we start seeing this just snowball of people coming forward. And I think two questions always come up in this situation. One is, how could this go on for so long, you know, without there being some action taken or some consequences? It's kind of mind boggling. And I think the other thing is, you know, to some extent, I think maybe the same things that protected him for so long, this public image, the fame, you know, I mean, all those things that, you know, that happened. I think once that avalanche starts, I think, you know, the public turns. I mean, I think, you know, there's a backlash that happens because there's such outrage, you know, when you start seeing those things that surface.
And how much do you believe that outrage will continue to compel potential victims here or alleged victims of Diddy to start coming forward who may have in the past been very reluctant to just because they wanted to continue on with their lives and not have to keep reliving these alleged nightmares over and over again?
I think whenever you have a high profile person who's accused of anything, there is a tremendous amount of fear in terms of coming forward, a sense that I'll never be believed or I'll be punished or there'll be consequences, maybe not even from that person, but from their associates, from their fans. I mean, there's a lot at stake when you're thinking about coming forward and accusing somebody who's in the public arena. I think once there's a support, I think a person starts feeling that the tide is turning, that somebody else has kind of taken that first step to do that, I think that it provides a huge amount of safety for other people to come forward and say, this happened to me too.
And a lot of these allegations stem from many years ago. Many of them, the statute of limitations has passed. When the grand jury hears the testimony that some of these folks are going to be in forgiving at some time soon, what kind of evidence are they going to be looking for? What kind of information are they going to be able to gather that's going to paint a clearer picture, or maybe able to paint a clearer picture with some absolute, you know, finite, you know, direction here of, yeah, it looks like he was doing these things. You don't have it necessarily on camera. It didn't just happen a month ago, but consistency wise.
Yeah, I think, you know, if you're thinking about being on a jury, what would you be looking for? You're going to be looking for consistency among stories. You're going to be looking at what are the other possible motivations for people to come forward. In other words, do people have secondary gain issues that they're trying to get? You're going to be looking at how credible that person is. That, of course, comes into play when we're talking about, are there any other motives? Is there any other kind of video evidence? Mm-hmm. You know, so you're going to be looking at corroboration. You're going to be looking at consistency of stories. You're going to be looking at a pattern of conduct. And of course, the more victims you have coming forward, you see that pattern of conduct. Mm-hmm. You know, are the stories pretty similar? So I think they're going to be looking at all those things and evaluating, did this person do these things? What is the evidence? Who are the people speaking for? How credible are they? The other thing that I would be looking for too is, you know, these victims, they may not have come forward publicly, but most people who experience some kind of traumatic experience, they tell somebody. Mm-hmm. You know, they tell, it could be a friend. Yeah. It could be a minister. You know, it could be a parent. And I think those stories also can be very, very compelling to, you know, for the juries to hear that, no, I didn't go to Fox News, or I didn't go to the police, but here are other people that I did tell. You can come forward and say, yeah, this person did tell me this. So I think all those things will be important.
There's obviously, when someone has trauma, if they seek mental health help for it, which I'm going to imagine with the amount of accusations that we've heard against Diddy, I'm hoping several have gone and talked to a psychologist or a psychiatrist or whoever, a counselor, to try and work through some of the trauma that they've gone through. That in itself is going to be interesting. You had mentioned earlier about a friend, a pastor, a family member, whoever it may be that they talk to. But when you have someone like that, someone, a doctor, or someone who is taking notes on this in a professional setting, more so than just, hey, your friend's testifying that they're agreeing with you that you said these things, can that be even more powerful in a case like this if they were to say, hey, go talk to my psychologist. It's in the notes showing on this date I talked about this then.
100%, because not only can that therapist talk about the fact that this happened, they're going to have documented details about mm-hmm. what their client said during that time. And they're also going to be able to speak to the trauma mm-hmm. and the impact that they witnessed in their client as related to these sexual misconduct. Mm-hmm. So that could be a very, very powerful testimony.
Want to listen ad-free? Want advanced access to all of our interviews before anyone else?
Become a True Crime Today Premium Plus subscriber on Apple Podcasts.
You get every episode commercial free,
so you can binge on true crime
until you can binge no more.
Search True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts now, or go to our podcast page and sign up now.
More of the Hidden Killers podcast next.
Normally in these ads, you expect somebody to ask you to buy something, but this is something different. I'm Julian Barnes, and I'm a reporter for the New York Times. I'm a national security reporter, and that means I'm reporting on military operations. These are fast-paced, quickly moving situations. What exactly is happening on the ground is often shrouded in mystery, but we turn to trusted sources, satellite imagery, and expertise built up over years in order to ferret out the facts that wouldn't otherwise come to light. I'm here to ask you to seek out a news source that does firsthand fact-based reporting. If it's your local paper, great. If it's the Times, thank you. Because where you go for your information matters.